Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm going to turn this over to Betty, and she's going to open with a prayer. Today's program, we will be discussing a topic that's near and dear to our hearts and one that has become an annual topic for programs because next week is Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. So, Betty, why don't you open with the prayer?
Okay. Welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, God, for the wonderful gift of fertility. Be with us, especially when we're having trouble understanding our signs and when abstinence is difficult. Be with us in the special times when we rejoice in our love and the sacrament of marriage. Help us to understand your plan for us and show us how to be responsible parents. In you, we will put our trust. We ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to go through some things that people can do to try to make everyone more aware of natural family planning. But before we do that, I would like to let you know a little bit about the history of Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. The week is an event that was begun by the American Academy of Natural Family Planning, which is now referred to as the American Academy of Fertility Care Professionals. The Awareness Week is promoted by the Diocesan Development Program for Natural Family Planning, the Secretariat for Pro-Life Activities, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. The date specifically for this particular week, although everyone that is involved in natural family planning happens to be of the opinion that this is probably not the best week of the year to celebrate natural family planning awareness because most people are away on vacation during the summer months. But the date highlights the anniversary of the papal encyclical of Pope Paul VI, Humanae Vitae, which was released on July 25th, 1968. And it also marks the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, whose feast day is on July 26th. And through a variety of educational formats, the diocese throughout the United States focused their attention on natural family planning and church teachings which support its use in marriage. In order to facilitate the activities of the diocese, the Diocesan Development Program has developed posters and supportive materials. I know it's a little late in the week because Natural Family Planning Awareness Week this year is from July 23rd to July 29th, which is 2 days from now and begins on Sunday. However, the posters that are available, and there are four of them hanging in our parish in St. Ignatius in Yardley, are ideal for but not only your parish, but for hospitals and NFP classrooms and marriage prep sites and even doctor's offices. And I have a couple of them hanging up in my office, as well as in family life centers and campus ministry centers. The theme this year is to love naturally, natural family planning. The posters are 17 by 22 with English on one side and Spanish on the opposite. And they can be obtained by contacting customer service at ifcweb.com. They're $275 each plus shipping and handling. And you can order them online. And if you have them FedExed out overnight, you may be able to have them in time for Sunday's masses or even any time during the week because the Awareness Week runs for the entire week.
Or even any time during the whole year, especially with pre-Cana classes or just for general information for people in your parish to hear the words, natural family planning, read the words of natural family planning so that they know that this is a teaching of the church And I invite any listeners out there today that would like to call, give us any thoughts or encouragement on what is going on in your parish for NFP. And our phone lines are open, 215-345-1570. Now, I know that Holy Trinity is having a big program this weekend also on July 23rd.
29th.
I'm sorry, July 29th, during the week of Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. So do you want to comment on that?
It's going to be held at Holy Trinity Parish in Morrisville. The speaker is going to be Dr. Brigida de Guzman, who is a board-certified OBGYN and a certified Creighton Natural Family Planning Medical Consultant. She just finished her training out of Creighton University in NAPRO technology, and she is going to be the guest speaker, and the program is being sponsored by the Fertility Care Professionals of Southeastern Pennsylvania, and it's going to begin, I believe, at 7 p.m. at Holy Trinity Parish Hall in Morrisville. I do not believe that there is a fee for entrance, and it's open to the public. And anyone who's interested in hearing about this great new technology of NAPRO technology, which is a new method of evaluating and approaching fertility and problems with fertility for women's health care in a much more natural, holy, and sacred way, Please feel free to attend that program at Holy Trinity Parish in Morrisville on Saturday, July the 29th at 7 p.m. We would like to go over some things that people can do for natural family planning awareness. And one of the great debates that currently rages amongst natural family planning supporters is, how is it that we can get the word out to all of the populace of not only our country, but the world, and especially in the Catholic Church, that natural family planning exists, what it is, why we should be paying attention to it, and how we can, where we can go to get resources and information and learn more about it. So I would welcome you to call if you have any ideas on how to market natural family planning, if you have any questions about what natural family planning is, if you have any questions about why you've not heard about it before, or questions about why you were not aware that there was an awareness week. The entire purpose of this program is to educate, inform, and to try to answer questions on natural family planning.
And we'd also like you to call if your parish is going to promote it or already does promote NFP, if they have pamphlets at the back of their church or whatever, just to encourage all of those listeners that, you know, it is happening out there. So please call us at 215-345-1570.
One of the first things that we can do, as is always the truth in any case with any Catholic church teaching and any problems in one's lives, is to pray as a community. And one of the things that we would encourage all of you to do is to introduce your pastor and the priest and deacons at your parish to the possibility of considering intercessory petitions at either daily and or the Sunday masses, not only for this week, but at various times throughout the year. And I would suggest that you go to the United States Catholic Conference on Bishops website at usccb.org to get information. But Betty and I are going to give you some examples of intercessory prayers. That's those petitions that we normally pray for right after the homily, asking for intercession for special events. We usually pray for the sick. We usually pray for the dead. We pray for our people in armed services. But we all live in a culture of death here in this country, as well as in the world. And you can see what's going on over in the Middle East right now. And there's a lot of evil in the world. And we really, really need to get back to a culture of life and the idea of supporting life. And I think one of the greatest affirmations by our current president this past week, although it was not well received by a significant proportion of the population, is President George Bush's veto of the stem cell bill that was presented to him by Congress. And Congress could not come up with enough votes to override the veto. And a lot of senators and representatives, as well as the news media, and some physicians and scientists are speaking out against him, but he is standing by his convictions that he is a supporter of life and as such will not support the abuse of frozen embryos for stem cell research under any circumstances while he's the president. So kudos to George Bush, who stood up for life this week, and some of these petitions will speak to that.
So as we begin and we give you some of these petitions that we, you know, give you some ideas for your parish, we're also going to pray these petitions for our audience and for all of those NFP instructors, couples, and those who don't know about NFP. So for our first petition, for an end to abortion and contraception in our world.
We pray to the Lord and ask that Lord hear our prayer.
That married couples are open to the church's teaching on natural family planning.
We pray to the Lord and ask the Lord hear our prayer.
That society will see children as a blessing and not burdens.
We pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to hear our prayer.
That all married couples will experience the joy of family life.
We pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord hear our prayer.
That natural family planning will be used instead of contraception when married couples have a sufficiently serious reason for child spacing.
We pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord hear our prayer.
That the church's teaching on family planning be understood and applied.
We pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord hear our prayer.
That our world will respect all human life from the moment of conception until natural death.
We pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord hear our prayer.
For the teachers and promoters of natural family planning methods.
We pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord hear our prayer.
And for all engaged couples preparing for marriage and family life.
We pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord hear our prayer. These are just some of the petitions. You can get more on the United States Catholic College of Bishops website from the Diocesan Development Program. Please consider jotting some of these down or acquiring some of them and then writing a letter or perhaps personally handing them to your pastor to be inserted into your parish bulletin and prayed weekly, because we need to pray as a community to overcome this culture of death and encourage a culture of life. In a letter to the natural family planning teachers in Rome in 1966, Pope John Paul II stated that the moment has come for every parish and every structure of consultation and assistance to the family and to the defense of life to have personnel available who can teach married couples on how to use the natural methods. I recommend that bishops and parish priests promote this valuable service. Directly from the words of Pope John Paul II or Pope John Paul the Great. So I would encourage all of you to support through prayer. And if you don't have an opportunity or don't know how, then just say Hail Mary and ask Our Lady of Guadalupe, who Betty and I have pretty much adopted as our patron intercessor for our natural family planning ministry, to support natural family planning. Another valuable resource that has evolved over the past 7 years in the Philadelphia area is the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, which is a network of over 500 supporters who support and some who teach and some who preach on natural family planning. And I would encourage that if you need more information, it's one of the most comprehensive websites that is locally available on natural family planning. Although I think, Betty, one time you looked on the web that there were some...
Like about 1,700 websites on NFP alone. Now, of course, they're not all Catholic websites, so you have to be a little cautious about that. But the majority were. And the enrichment of family life and marital life and was very beautifully portrayed. And also a really strong help to couples that do not want to contracept and want to follow the teachings of the church, but perhaps are unable to attend a class or whatever. There's a lot of information on the web that you could obtain. But, of course, we think to encourage you even further, it would be best for you to find out when the classes are, which you can find out on this website, which is www.pnfpn.org. And they have a listing of all the classes throughout the Archdiocese for anybody that wants or would be required to attend. And I'm noticing more and more that in our NFP classes, we are getting couples that are required to attend by their priest, by their parish priest. And it's quite fascinating to see this evolution of resistance in the beginning, and by the time they finish the class, a whole new world has opened up to them, and they realize, wow, I had no idea. I never understood what it was all about. I just thought that I was being told, you know, not to contracept, but now I understand the true value and love and meaning of NFP.
Another way that you could support Natural Family Planning Awareness Week and bring out the awareness is, as we already mentioned, to purchase posters from the Diocesan Development Program in Washington, D.C., and distribute them, as well as other material and information. And if you are interested in accessing pamphlets on natural family planning that you may want to put in the back of your church, maybe one of the things that you can consider doing is to request that your pastor allow you to get a pamphlet rack and purchase from either One More Soul or get them for free from the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, NFP pamphlets that explain what natural family planning is, and put them in the entrances of and the exits of your church so that you will be supporting natural family planning in a very direct way. The telephone number for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Family Life Office is 215-587-3819. If you don't get that because you're driving or you don't have a pen available, you can go to the website for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and there's a direct link to the Family Life Office, and you can access them in that manner also and get these pamphlets sent to you and have them distributed and make them available in your church. We mentioned a moment ago the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, and another way that you could dispense information and also provide a valuable resource not only for your own individual use but also for the use of your parish is to obtain copies of the tapes or discs from our 2004 Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Conference. 2 years ago, we did an entire conference on how to for natural family planning, and we'll give you a little bit of a taste of what some of the tapes were all about, because it was all about trying to support this awareness for natural family planning. And in fact, we're going to be running another conference in 2007 that's going to reinforce some of these topics and try to promote them and actually develop a marketing program that would be a business model for natural family planning. But the tapes include an overview of natural family planning by myself, and then there was a talk on natural family planning in Pre-Cana by Father Paul Stenson.
And how to give a homily on NFP by Father Tim Christie. And how to establish NFP in a parish by Father John Gaben.
The one on how to give a homily by Father Tim Christie is probably one of the most popular tapes that we've actually sold and given as gifts to a lot of different priests. Father Christie is the pastor of St. Magdalene's Parish in Flemington, New Jersey, and is an avid supporter of natural family planning and gave some excellent examples, not the least of which was the feast day of St. Joachim and Anne, which we'll talk about a little bit later, because Betty has mentioned this as a special feast day, and she'll tell you a little bit about St. Anne and late pregnancies and surprise pregnancies, something that we bring up in all of our NFP conferences. Another one of the tapes is what actually is involved in a diocesan natural family planning ministry. And we actually had Teresa Notari, who's the director of the Diocesan Development Program, come up from Washington, D.C. as our guest speaker that year to talk about just, you know, what comprises and what should be involved in a diocese or an archdiocese for a natural family planning ministry. We also had a talk by Father Jim Otto on how to teach natural family planning to students. And we had a introductory discussion by Dominic Lombardi, who is the director of the Family Life Office for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, on the archdiocese and natural family planning.
And then we had a beautiful couple who are NFP instructors and also do a lot of work for the Archdiocese on NFP, and they presented a topic, how to teach NFP to couples, and it was beautifully presented. And that was by Lisa Ann and Michael Castagno. And then there's new approaches in presenting NFP, and that was given by Steve Baza, who was the Family Life Director in the Camden Archdiocese. And finally, we even recorded a homily on NFP by Justin Cardinal Regali, who attended our conference and also ended our conference with a beautiful mass.
And for that complete set, we're charging $60 for all those CDs, or you can get them, the audio package, for $45. And if you're interested in acquiring any of that information, again, you can go to the website at pnfpn.org and click on the link from the 2004 conference and place an order, and I'll make sure that I get them in the mail to you. And you can either give them as a gift to the priests and deacons in your parish. You can use them for your own personal use. You can listen to them and figure out how you can bring an NFP ministry, and that brings up another topic. I challenge every single solitary person out there who's in a parish to consider the possibility of starting a natural family planning ministry in your parish. I believe right now we have about 266 parishes throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and all we would need to do is get one supporter couple or individual who would go to their pastor and request that amongst all the ministries of Aid for Friends and Social Action Committee and Social Justice and Adoration Chapels and Legion of Mary and Adult Ed Programs and all the other ministries that exist in Catholic parishes, that probably one of the least developed and one of the most important is to have a natural family planning ministry and an access and a resource of information for natural family planning, not only for your pre-Cana, but for your RCIA, for anyone who has a question, and to support your priests and deacons, to get them pamphlets and brochures, to encourage them to give homilies throughout the year. If you got Father Christie's tape, you would see that the Feast of the Annunciation is an excellent opportunity for an NFP homily. Certainly around the Feast of the Nativity, we mentioned the Feast of the Visitation, the feast days of St. Joachim and St. Anne. There are just a bunch of feast days and opportunities throughout the year where a priest and deacons could consider giving sample homilies on natural family planning.
And also, if you don't want to be, you know, leading a ministry in your parish, but you do practice NFP, it would be a beautiful thing if you could be a witness couple when they need witness couples at pre-Cana presentations or even RCIA. But also to help the priests and deacons to back them up, because we want them to speak the words, but sometimes they need a little backup from couples that are practicing NFP. So I just want to remind our listeners that give us a call. Let us know. Do you have anything going on in your parish about natural family planning or natural family planning awareness week? Do you have classes, or is it ever promoted? 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 215-345-1570.
And certainly a valuable resource would be here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM, holyspiritradio.org, that you could contact the radio station and communicate with Betty and I, and we would be a resource. And if any of you ever need help, need a lecture, need a talk, need an overview, need a conference, need somebody to help you out with forming a ministry or something like that, we would be more than happy to do that. We have actually two certified teaching couples at our parish at St. Ignatius in Yardley. We run classes several times during the year. We've had a couple of adult ed programs that have focused on natural family planning and related topics. And as we mentioned before, we invited our priests and deacons, and last two years actually, had a very positive response from our priests and deacons in giving homilies on natural family planning. People often ask, why don't we hear a homily on natural family planning? Why don't we hear it from our priest? Why don't we hear it from the pulpit? Why do we hear these other homilies? And there was an actual article by Teresa Notari from the Diocesan Development Program, and the priests are mandated to preach homilies, and the top three reasons that were given were, number one, they have to preach on the daily Mass readings, and they can't make the connection between a daily Mass reading and life and natural family planning. And we're going to give you some examples of that, especially for any priests and deacons that are out there listening. Number two, that NFP is an awkward topic for a sermon in a mixed congregation. Well, so is contraception, abortion, murder, war, and a whole bunch of other things that are going on out there in the world. And sin is controversial, and divorce is controversial, and cohabitation is controversial, and adultery and fornication and a lot of other things. And they homilize on those topics. And so natural family planning is a positive one.
Positive, exactly.
A good one. One that is life-promoting and life-enhancing, and could be made to be very entertaining, as a priest at our parish, Father McDermott, last year gave an excellent homily and made it very entertaining. And a third reason is that the priests and the deacons are not comfortable. They don't know that much about natural family planning themselves, especially some of the older priests that were educated in the seminaries back in the 70s and the 80s, and you would think post Humanae Vitae, but there's been a lot of controversy about Humanae Vitae and the teachings of the church, but now that seems to be going in the other direction, and there's a lot more education at the seminaries on natural family planning, and the younger priests seem to be a little bit more willing to do it. But one priest had explained that the silence that you hear from the pulpit on NFP is not some conscious clerical plot to be silent on the topic. He said the priests are very practical. They like to speak on issues that they know a lot about or have personal experience. And unless they study, pray, and reflect on the issue and have NFP couples to witness to them, which Betty just invited, any couple that uses NFP to become a witness couple, they are men. They don't have fertility cycles. They're not married to somebody who does, and they need help. So what do? Education, education, education. Each of the objections listed above can be overcome by providing clergy with solid information and support on natural family planning, and the diocesan NFP office is the logical place to start with the coordinator, and then contact witness couples, have programs at your parish, read scripture, get support, and do everything that you possibly can do to get the priest to be open to it and to discuss it. And I think that you'll reap the rewards in your parish of having some really good, positive, life-enhancing, love-enhancing things. If you think that this is not a popular topic, Betty has with her the National Catholic Register from this past week. And on the front page is a picture of our current Pope Benedict XVI. And the headline is
Love and Marriage. And this was, he's waving to us from his airplane steps. And the as he is going to the world meeting of families in Spain, so that he's bringing his message of authentic love to the world meeting. And the Holy Father journeyed to Spain's third largest city to help close the July 1st to the 9th, 5th world meeting of families, and to focus on its theme, the transmission of faith in families. And, you know, the hot topic now, you know, in our society today is, you know, same-sex marriage. But our Pope is holding strong, and it's a beautiful thing. And I keep saying that, don't I, this program. But in his homily, the Pope urged husbands and wives to be open to the gift of life, saying each human is not created by accident or random selection, but is part of the loving plan of God. Married couples must accept the children born to them, not simply as theirs alone, but also as a child of God, loved for his or her own sake, and called to be a son or daughter of God. So he was warmly welcomed in Spain, and he is trying to, at the origin of every man and woman, and thus in all human fatherhood and motherhood, we find the God, the Creator. For this reason, married couples must accept the child born to them. So, you know, our Pope, this beautiful Pope, is encouraging love and marriage, openness to life, and understanding of parenthood and responsibility to that. And he's traveling the world to promote all this. And it all stems all around love, marriage, NFP. You know, we have to come back to this love for one another and this creation that God has perfected through our love, which will be our children.
Betty and I were talking in the car on the way up here. Believe it or not, we do talk in the car when we're driving. And one of the things that we were discussing is the word love. And how many times a day we use the word love. You tell your spouse that you love her. You tell your children that you love her. You tell your parents that you love them. You tell your friends. You may tell your friends that you love them. And then euphemistically in our language, we use the word love for a lot of other different meanings. I love chocolate ice cream. I love going to work out. I love going to the movies. We use this word a lot. And yet, how many times have people actually sat down and thought about what the word love truly means? If you went to a pre-Cana class and you talked to an engaged couple and you said to them, why are you getting married? Well, we love one another. Well, what does that mean? And you get into it in a little bit more detail, they really can't find language to answer the question. They know what the word means, but they can't put it into words. They can't express it. And so what the church has done, and what the leaders of the church has done, and what the popes and the bishops have done, is they have helped define, through the example of the love of Christ for all of us, what true love really means. And what it really is, and how to live it, and how to put it into our everyday lives. One of the perfect examples of one of these definitions, it comes from Vatican II. People talk about children, they think about children, people have children, but do you ever really sit down and think about what your children are? Your children are the supreme gift of marriage, and they greatly contribute to the good of parents. true married love is directed. Now listen to this. This is from Vatican II. This is from the church. True married love is directed to disposing spouses to cooperate valiantly with the Creator, who, through the couple, will increase and enrich his family from day to day. Of course, married love also has the purpose of unifying husband and wife, but the unique aspect of marital love is children. So our scripture encourages couples to look to the relationship between Christ and the church as a model for their marriage. And this is directly from Ephesians 5. And how does Christ relate to the church? The Catechism says that the church is the bride of Christ, that he has made her the fruitful mother of all of God's children. This raises a question. What aspect of Christ is the couple modeling when they practice contraception? Which part of Christ, who is the leader, the founder of our church, the perfect example, God become man, the Eucharist, the creator of all the universe, the creator of all life, which part of Christ does a couple model when they contracept? It is inconceivable that Christ practices spiritual contraception with his bride, the church. God knows perfectly well what each couple can handle in terms of family size. After all, he knitted both husband and wife in their mother's wombs and gave to each certain talents. He has not forgotten those talents when he asked each couple, and this is a question that is indirectly asked to each couple when they take their marriage vows. Will you take care of these children until I come? Your children do not belong to you. They come through you. And you are like an archer, and they are like arrows that spring forth from your bow. And so your children don't belong to you. They belong to the world, and they belong to God. And they're created by God, and you are the caretaker and the provider for these children as gifts.
In the most literal sense, a pro-life couple says to God, "We accept whatever you have planned for us because we trust that you will provide for our needs like a good father." Whenever Christian spouses in a spirit of sacrifice and trust in divine providence carry out their duty of procreation with generous responsibility, they glorify the Creator and perfect themselves in Christ. Now, every time we teach an NFP class or give a presentation, I always say, God already knows how many children you're going to have. He already knows their name. So everybody in this room who thinks that, you know, and when we're presenting, we're usually in a group of people in the room, I explained to them that God has a plan for every one of us. And if we think that we're going to be parents, then that's a wonderful thing. But maybe God's plan is that we're not to be parents. Or maybe God's plan is that we're to be parents of two children, as Les and I are. Or parents of five children. Whatever it is, it's God's plan. Now, we can accept children lovingly and love and respect and clothe and educate our children. And today, I have to say, we've been staying with our son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren because we were out of electricity, and that they have three children and one on the way. And it's so beautiful to see these children in this household being loved by one another, the eldest loving the youngest, and the middle child loving the youngest, and just always being so attentive to one another. And of course, you know, they're being playful and mean at times, but in general, it's such a loving family. And my daughter-in-law was telling me today that a little friend of her daughter, of my granddaughter, came to the house, and She was actually a little afraid of the baby because she was never around babies, and she wasn't sure what to do with this baby. And our little granddaughter has such a comfort and love of children. So families, mothers and fathers, giving children to the world are not just bringing them, as our Pope said, for themselves, but for others, for their own family, for their own children to experience the love of a little baby in the household. So it is a beautiful thing, and we need to refocus our priorities of what is so important in our lives. And to me, it's our children, our greatest gift, not losing our air conditioning or, you know, our material things. It's the love of our children. And thank God we have a child who's married with children that we could go to their house in this heat wave and prepare to go to work every morning and everything else this past week. So,
of course, the church recognizes, you know, they're not saying to everyone with natural family planning that you're supposed to have unlimited children. God's giving you the gift of your sexuality, and he's inviting you to participate in co-creation, but he's also asking you to relinquish the control that you think that you have over creation to him and let it be up to him. We were listening to a program on the way up here about what it could potentially mean to people if they were not open to life every time that they were, so that we wouldn't have, you know, if Mary wasn't open to life, then what would have happened for God becoming man? If Mother Teresa's mother was not open to life, if Beethoven's mother was not open to life, if St. Teresa of Avila's mother was not open to life, if St. Catherine of Siena, who was one of how many children? 25 children or something, and she was the youngest, a canonized saint, was not open to life. If her parents decided to stop at 24, then she would have never been born. So you don't know what you're doing in changing God's plan for the universe by not being open to life every month. And when each month goes by, you don't have that back again. The church recognizes, however, that if a couple has just reasons for avoiding children temporarily, then natural family planning is available. And you can see this in the Catechism number 2368. But the dominant emotion experienced by a couple that's in a position of temporarily needing to avoid conception should be heartfelt regret. You should be sad that you're not having an opportunity to have children at a particular time in your life. Not glad, not looking forward to it. There may be good reasons for the decision. It may have to do with your health, or it may have to do with a family situation. And you should be saying to yourself, geez, I wish we didn't have to do this now. I wish we didn't have to postpone having children now, because children are such a great gift. And what's the normal state? John Paul II said it very clearly. Americans are known for their generosity toward children. What's the best gift you can give your children?
I say to you, give them brothers and sisters. That's what our Pope has said. And, you know, I come from a family of 9 children, and I'm number 8 of 9. I have a twin brother, and we're both the youngest. And our greatest gift to one another is our brothers and sisters. I mean, if anything goes wrong, or we need help, or we need support, who do we call? I call one of my sisters. It's a loving thing to know that I have someone to rely on, and that will always be there for me. And it's our brothers and sisters are a great gift.
And I know that when we're thinking about gifts and we're talking about children being supreme gifts, that a lot of the times we always think that we should be the receivers of the gifts and God should be the givers of the gifts. But if you have a truly loving relationship with God, then it should be a two-way street. And you might think to yourself, well, God's God. What kind of a gift could I give God? The greatest gift that any married couple can give to each other and to the kingdom of God on earth is openness to life. Then we are allowing God free rein to build what he wills. You're turning around and you're saying to God, yes, God, you gave me free will. And I appreciate that. And yes, God, you gave me the ability to help create life with you. And I totally appreciate that. And you turn around and you say, and God, I'm giving back to you my free will, and I'm leaving it up to you to decide how many children we're actually going to have. And God will not give you more children than you are able to take care of. The will of St. Francis de Sales says, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I cannot emphasize to you enough, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you need to be aware of natural family planning as a promotional product of the gift of life. You need to be able to make it aware to your children, to your friends, to your family. If you have children that are getting married, we just attended a family marriage. We have 5 weddings this summer that we're going to through friends and family. You need to be able to, if you have the opportunity, to make it aware to every one of those couples, the opportunity for them to have children and the opportunity for them to engage in intimacy between husband and wife, and the need for them to be open to life and what negative effects contraception will have on their marriage, on their life, on their families, and possibly even on their personal health.
And also, our fertility is a gift. To learn and know our fertility is an absolute gift. Most couples don't understand or know their fertility, and that's what you can learn by knowing NFP. You can know your fertility. You can know if you're fertile, if you're not fertile, if you're having a problem, if you're unable to conceive. You can find all of those things out just by practicing NFP and go to your doctor, and right there on your charts, he can see if you have a medical problem or not. If you're contracepting, you're delaying that. You're delaying that ability to understand your fertility. Fertility is a gift, not something to be dreaded.
And not a disease.
Right. It isn't a disease. It's a gift. And as Catholics, we need to understand that it is a gift. And God is only allowing a conception to happen one day a month. That's all.
And not every month, when he decides.
So
some people wait years to conceive.
Right, and it's not like it's constant fertility or ability to conceive. It's one day a month, and learning your signs and symptoms and figuring out when you should abstain and when you shouldn't. One day a month. I mean, it's really a gift to you to understand that.
Now, we mentioned earlier that of the things that you can do to encourage your priest and your deacons to give homilies on NFP, we're going to give you 2 examples of 2 special feast days this week for Natural Family Planning Awareness Week that runs from Sunday, July the 23rd until Saturday, July the 29th. The first example is this Tuesday, July the 25th. It's the feast day of St. James the Apostle, and it's also the anniversary of the papal encyclical of Humanae Vitae that was written in 1968, and actually written a little bit before that, but released in 1968 by Pope Paul VI. And it basically espouses and continues to espouse the church teaching on contraception and family life and family planning. St. James the Apostle is the one who wishes impetuously in the readings from that particular feast day to call down a thunderstorm to consume the inhospitable Samaritans, thus being granted the nickname the Son of Thunder. He's also one of those who tried to get one of the best seats in the kingdom of heaven. But there must have been something about him which made the Lord love him dearly, for he is one of the 3 that he brings with him to the heights of Mount Tabor and the depths of the Garden of Gethsemane and to the house of Jairus. It is perhaps his presence at the house of Jairus that we just read the gospel several weeks ago, which makes him such a powerful patron. It seems that the head of the synagogue, Jairus, had a daughter who grew mortally ill and died. And Jairus, with the love that only a parent could know, ran to Jesus. We're told that they mocked him, saying, "She's already dead. Why bother the master?" But the father would not give up, and he would not accept the fact that God could not help his child. "I will ask," he decided, and Jesus looked upon his faith, went to his house with James and two of the other apostles, and raised the child to life. Like Jairus, St. James was never willing to give up. How often are parents today tempted to give up on their child when all tell them it's hopeless? He's an addict, he's a drunk, he's a failure, he's a bum. But the faith of Jesus and his apostle who never gives up, and the faith of a parent who received a child as a gift of God, never gives up. That's what it means to be married in Christ, to reflect the love of the Savior to the world through the way you love each other and the child whom God has sent you as a seal of his holy bond. St. James, pray for us.
And on Wednesday, July 26th, this is my 95-year-old mother's favorite saint. And it's St. Anne and her husband, Joachim. And they were the parents of the Blessed Virgin. And St. Anne is very special to my mother because my mother says that she's the patron saint of grandmothers, being Jesus's grandmother. And what a wonderful example of married love we have in Joachim and Anne. This is the story of a love, not just of a man and a woman, but of a husband and a wife, and of a God who loved them. Childless, even into old age, Joachim and Anne continued to devote their lives to God, always trusting that he would make their love fruitful. This is the sort of trust which is demanded by the sacrament of marriage, which is described by the new order of celebrating marriage as an intimate communion of life and love by which spouses are no longer two, but one flesh. The union of Joachim and Anna and the union of every married couple was established by the Creator, endowed with its own laws and given as one of the blessing that was fortified by original sin. This sacred bond is not therefore based on a human decision, but on the author of marriage, who willed that it would be possessed of special blessings and purposes. We sometimes forget that married couples, like priests, are about sacred work. May God bless, guide, and strengthen them in holiness all the days of their married life. And Joachim and Anne were gifted with a child late in life, and that was our dear blessed mother. So, you know, people that are unable to conceive, there's always hope. And they had an unexpected pregnancy, and it was Mary. And Mary had an unexpected pregnancy, which was Jesus. And Elizabeth, in late in life, had an unexpected pregnancy, which was John the Baptist. So children that are unexpected in a marriage, in a family, are usually the special gifts. And I always say, well, my mother had an unexpected pregnancy, and she had twins, number 8 and 9.
And I'm sitting next to one of them, number 8.
So
it's a special gift.
You know, we can't.
And if you stop and think about it, if Betty were not born, then I would not be married to her, and I would not have the children that I have. And all you have to do is change one thing in the wrinkle of time, and the entire world changes. So God has this huge, immense plan for the entire world from beginning to end that he created. He knows what's going to happen all the way up until the end of the world. As Betty mentioned, he knows how many children you're going to have. He knows their names. He knows the hairs on their head. He knows everything. And he has a specific plan for each and every one of them. And he plants them into a specific family for a specific purpose as a gift. And we don't look upon our children as gifts. And unfortunately, some parents look upon their children as burdens. And some places the world looks upon the children as burdens. And we have to stop that negativity in the way we perceive our children. And that's one of the things that natural family planning does. Another feast day that's going to be celebrated next week, for those of you who may notice, is the Feast of St. Martha on Saturday, July the 29th. And Martha provided a powerful witness to the love of Jesus just as every single person is called to do. But the married couple is called to do something more, to a reflection of divine love by the way they love each other. In patient endurance, in lifelong fidelity, in trusting always in the Lord who called them together, man and wife become an instrument of divine in human flesh. Such love transforms human hearts, brings forth new life, and renews the face of the earth. I would encourage you to call your rectory. I would encourage you to pray. I would encourage you to access the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network to get a list of resources and websites for all the local teaching providers and all the local websites that provide information, and a reading list at One More Soul on natural family planning that discusses just about every topic you can possibly think of with relationship to natural family planning. I would encourage you to become informed. There are Theology of the Body conferences that are going on constantly. There's one that is advertised in this week's Catholic Standard and Times, Theology of the Body for Teens, that's available. The Family Life Office has programs that are constantly available. As Betty said, there are classes that are going on all the time. And I would ask you to pray for Natural Family Planning Ministries. Encourage your priest and your deacons to homilize and discuss it. Ask them questions. Talk to your adult faith formation and adult education program leaders to have classes and programs on natural family planning, and to become more aware. Walk up to somebody next week and ask them, what do you know about natural family planning? Even if you don't know anything about it, and if they say nothing, you can turn around and at least say, well, neither do I. So we'd like to close with a prayerful reading from one of the Psalms that Betty will read as our closing prayer.
This is Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And your wife is a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home. Your children are like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord.
So support natural family planning. Have a great week, and we'll see you next month. Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.